Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation.
And this week, it's a failed attempt at a podcast takeover.
Is it though?
Brendan had a great idea, and that's just that I mute anybody that tries to subvert whatever I'm trying to do here. So we had so we have Annette with us and Brendan, because
I'm the new favorite.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd go that far. So we were talking, Annette was out for, I think I mentioned, I don't remember if I mentioned, but my father-in-law's funeral was last week, and we had family in town, and Annette made the comment that there should be a podcast takeover, and that never happened the way that we had imagined it anyways. There's still time, but we thought, how great would it be if we had Cindy on and Chris? Shout out for Chris, by the way. Just for you, Chris, I've created a new podcast. It's called, I'm not going to say what it's called.
Oh no.
Split pea soup.
No, I'll come up with a good name and then
just
maybe
kidding.
I'll
is it called just kidding.
Just kidding. Chris is just kidding.
Just kidding.
That'll be the name of the podcast. No, I've got to make sure that I've got to be on my mostly best, my, I've got to be in my at least above mediocre behavior. Otherwise, I'm going to get in trouble with a couple of the people that listen. Fortunately, Annette won't get in trouble because they like the people who listen like her.
Woohoo! Glad I could be helpful.
So she's thinking that this is now her podcast, which is fantastic. So
basically,
2 weeks ago, we talked about having expectations of God. And before we got into the role that God has as a master pivoter in our lives, we decided to end the conversation after about an hour, almost an hour. And then last week, Brendan raised the question, what about God's plan for us? And what if we don't like it? And so we spent some time talking about that. And Annette says, well, yeah, but, so I want to hear your yeah, buts. And then Brendan can defend himself, and I'm just going to enjoy the show.
So first of all, I want to just clarify before I just like get all hot under the collar. How do you define God's plan for you?
Okay. So there you go, Brendan.
I'm pretty sure that's something that God gets to define for us. And it's just up to us to interpret it the best we can. Ultimately, though, I do believe that God wants all of us to return to him. So anything that's following along those lines is probably safe to assume that that's part of his plan.
Okay, so when you say God's plan, you're not necessarily talking about everything that happens to us. Or are you talking about everything that happens to us?
I think everything that happens to us, and this goes back to what my dad and I were talking about, of God won't, or his opinion of God won't let us make mistakes.
Yeah, and I have a way of clarifying that, by the way. Yeah. But I will get into that later on if I have an opening. Continue.
Wow.
And he's over here making notes.
I'm terrified.
I've got all sorts of things written down.
But with that, I think, you know, he has his end goal of, you know, each individual he wants to come back to him. And with him, it's either stuff that he's putting into play now for something that'll happen later, or he's just making it work. Of you decided to go off on your own path over here. Well, that's not, you know, in his perfect world where everyone just does what they should without sinning or questioning anything. You know, there's that option, but with us, we're human. We make mistakes. We fall down and get back up and sometimes head off in the wrong direction. And sometimes with that, he adjusts his plan for us as far as the finer minute details to guide us back to the path we should be on.
I have to get a piece of paper too. Follow my No, because as I was listening, because I do listen to this podcast, even when I'm not on it.
Oh, nice.
I was thinking, you know, we have a cousin who died in a car accident.
Right.
And was that God's plan? I mean, I know you and I have talked about that, and, you know, Mom and I have talked about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a brother-in-law that just last week had brain surgery, to have a brain tumor and brain cyst removed. And, you know, was that God's plan that he would have? Like, I had brain surgery. Is that God's plan? Because I think it's a terrible plan. But, you know, or like these things that happen to us, right? Uh-huh. Like, that happen to us naturally, or, you know, it's like you lose somebody tragically from, you know, from an unexpected death where they didn't get to live till age. Like, is that God's plan for us? Or that's why I was like, how do you, cause you know, as you guys were talking about, I was like, well, I think this is a terrible plan. And I know I don't have the perspective, but I can't imagine a world and where I'm like, it was a good call to like have that person die, you know, tragically or, but I do believe that he uses the things that happen to us mm-hmm. to, if we let him, right? Like, or her, them, to further our journey back mm-hmm. to God's presence. So I really felt like, man, I really need some clarification. What exactly do they mean when they say God's plan? Or is God's plan, say, I'm just thinking right now, is God's plan simply for us to return to him? That is the plan. And everything else is stuff that happens to us that either is because of our agency or the agency of other people that kind of gets pivoted left and right to kind of get us back to being God's presence. That's my question. Full of yeah buts.
So
I do think that that's a pretty interesting perspective, and I do like how you worded that. I think one thing I would say with that is, you know, ultimately, kind of like you said, that the simple version of his plan is that straight and narrow path of, you know, follow the path, you'll get back to me. And while he can't stop you from choosing to go off on your own path in the perfect world as everything goes to Annette's plan, or the perfect world where everything goes to Ken's plan or Brendan's plan, although I'm sure some of us would prefer to live in those worlds.
I can't imagine people not wanting to live in my world.
I do not want to live in your world.
There might be more chocolate
my
cake.
My world is amazing.
That's a good point. Good point.
But so thinking of that, of if his plan is simply follow the straight and narrow and you can do whatever you want, he wants you on the straight and narrow so you can come back to him, then everything that's happening, whether like you have your own choices that you make, and he's going to do what he can to that path that you start on that is shooting off to the side a little bit, or maybe backtracking a little bit. He's going to try and loop it back around. And that might involve, you know, experience for one person that you're not going to meet for 10, 20 years.
So I'm going to ask you, Annette, to, clarify.
Okay.
When you talk about God's plan, I think there's some elements that are more important than just returning to his presence. I think there's some development that is required. Because if his plan was just for us to return to his presence, there's an easy way to do that.
Right.
And that was just don't even test us. Yeah, the other plan. So what is part of his plan that we're not considering? That what there's more to it than just returning to his presence. There's some sort of, there's some level of development. I don't know if development's the right word, but there's something else that is part of that plan. So, and maybe Brendan, you have some thoughts on what is it that God wants out of us as we return to his presence?
So one thing I've thought about a little bit recently is kind of the whole idea that you can't have one without the other. So when it comes to opposites, so you can't have love without hate.
Okay.
Or you can't truly know love without knowing hate. And that exists with plenty of things in our life. And, you know, maybe you think as a kid, everything's going well and you know what joy is. And then you realize later as an adult or teenager or just whenever in your life, and you're like, oh, wow, that was a bad situation. And like, that wasn't actually joy. But because of that, now I know what true joy is. Or because I went through grief and loss, I know how to truly appreciate what I have here and now. And unfortunately, that's not a change that usually happens overnight. And instead, usually takes us a long time. And some of us, especially anyone related to the Williams family or the Grambos family, are slightly on the more stubborn side on occasion.
Solidly on the more stubborn side.
And it takes more than one time for us to learn a lesson.
Some more than others. So what's your thought, Annette? What is it that we're trying to accomplish, or what is it that God wants us to accomplish as a part of our journey back to him?
This is a great question, and I'm like so mad that my memory is trash, because Barry and I had a fantastic conversation about just this not very long ago. And I remember what he said. I was like, okay, that's plausible, like, right? Because I was asking him, it feels unloving and unfair for an omnipotent God to send us to Earth without any memories, no context. I really was struggling with that concept, mm-hmm. You know, like, especially as how life is posited as a test, right? Like, that just doesn't feel loving and righteous, right? To be right. Like, here, go take the test of your life. Literally, your whole future depends on how you do on this, but we're going to wipe your memory first and then see how well you do.
Right. Good luck.
Which is kind of how it's taught. At least that's how I received it growing up in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And he did a great job yeah-butting me. I get yeah-butted sometimes. It's true. I don't do all the yeah-butting. I do occasionally, especially when they're right. And I walked away with, I think, was something like, it was the only way for us to really know what we were capable of.
Okay.
I think that's what he said, because I don't feel like I would have come up with something like that. That's pretty good. And okay. I was coming to him in a place of frustration, and so I don't think I would have been that, what had the clarity with my bad attitude that I have.
Perfect.
So I was like, that is plausible, right? Like, sometimes we don't know what we can do until we have to do it. True. I've had people ask me, you know, going through some of the struggles we went through with our kids, with my own health struggles, with brain injury, of like, I don't know how you do it. And I was like, yeah, I don't either.
I go on a float every week. That's how I do it.
Right? I have all these, trying to have healthy coping mechanisms. They're not always healthy, but like, I didn't choose this. I don't feel like I would have been like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. I remember saying when I learned ASL in college and loved my experience with the deaf community. Mm-hmm. And I remember somebody asked me, like, if you had to lose one of your senses, you know, which one would it be? Which sense would you choose to lose? And as I thought about it, I thought, you know, I would want to be born without it. I think losing it as an adult or as a, you know, young adult would have been, and it is, I can actually attest to the fact that it is very difficult, you know, as an adult to lose this thing, you know, that you had. Anyway, now I've digressed. I don't even know if I answered your question.
Sure. We'll just go with, yeah, you did. So to answer the question, I'm not going to answer the question. I was going to say, if I had to lose a sense, I would probably lose my sense of, my common sense. That's what I would lose. Maybe nice. My sense of humor. No, I wouldn't want to lose
that. No, that would be so sad.
It would be super sad. My sense of good taste.
But I do have a follow-up question for Brendan and you. Okay. You said something about like the straight and narrow. And the thought I had was, does the straight and narrow path look the same for everybody?
No.
We can still be friends then. Okay.
Because you agree on this one?
I do. I was like, I really hope that they say no, because I don't think that it looks the same. I think we prescribe that in the church, but it's more, these are fence laws. Ken, you and I, we've talked about fence laws before. Like, these are fence laws of things that can keep you safe, but I don't believe that every person's path, their straight and narrow path looks identical.
Yeah. And to be fair, the only person that I know of that has ever actually been able to walk just the straight and narrow path is Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
And he was kind of one in a couple, maybe 100 billion.
Zillion.
I don't know all the numbers, but one of a kind. And so with that, all of our paths are going to look a little more jagged and crisscrossed. And so no one's path is going to look exactly the same. And the straight and narrow that we follow, even as we may deviate from it slightly or a lot, is going to be very different. But I think the concept overall and some of the guidelines with that are going to be fairly the same. But how it ends up being individually is different.
I like that.
So the way that, I don't know if this is a fair reclassification of my expectation of God, because before, a couple of weeks ago, I said that I think I believe that God will not allow me to make a mistake. And we had a long discussion about what a mistake is. And as I've talked to other people, shout out to Chris again. I'm going to have a podcast special for him.
Did you say Carissa?
Chris. I know there's been a lot of confusion if I say Chris, Carissa, or Chris.
I'm going to start calling them by their last names.
Schofield. So, no, it was, and he made the comment that if you have to define your word, then I said, okay, give me a better word. And he couldn't, which was great. So sorry about that. But so my amendment is, God will never allow me to be so powerful that I will ruin somebody else's journey.
Or your own?
Or my own journey. Anybody's journey.
Okay.
So I'm curious about your thoughts about that. That I, as a human person, suppose that I cannot be so powerful in my own life or somebody else's life that I will completely derail somebody else's path to God.
Meaning, I like that conversation.
Meaning that there's that because of me, there's no, that person or I myself have zero chance of returning to God. I think there's an opportunity to influence, but suppose I'm, so that's how I have revised my thoughts. I'm interested in hearing whether either of you agree, disagree.
Well, something I just thought about, kind of going with the idea of a mistake, which in our life, we kind of, you know, talk about mistakes as, you know, generalize and say, yeah, it's like falling down. Mm-hmm. If you think of a kid learning to walk, you let them fall down and get back up. But in the same aspect, you wouldn't let them Like, if you're there watching them, you're not going to let them stick the fork in the outlet or their hand on the stove. Like, those are...
Some people do that anyways, even if the parents say don't do it. Well, you might be one of those people.
It happened a couple times.
A couple of times?
Yeah, that's my world.
Maybe. It was after the TV fell on my head, so...
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
It does.
Raising Brennan was an adventure.
Apparently, you know, I was put into their life to teach them patience.
Oh, my goodness. I had plenty of opportunities to learn patience before you and after you and during you.
Maybe you just weren't quite getting enough.
I don't. Maybe that was that Williams family stubbornness.
Maybe. I don't know. I just, maybe I'm a slow learner.
But so that goes back into kind of what I was saying earlier. Sometimes, you know, maybe you need more patience in your life. And so if you think of it less of, you know, God testing your patience and more as God giving you plenty of opportunities to exercise your patience.
Yeah. That's the gospel according to Evan Almighty.
Such a good show.
That God doesn't give you patience. He gives you opportunities to exercise patience. But we digress. Back to God's plan. What is it that we're supposed to accomplish? Because I think if it were so simple that the only way to accomplish is to return to his presence, then it would seem unfair if you have lives that are cut short. And that I would define as anybody who didn't arrive to where they should have been. So it could be I read about a young woman in Utah who died in I think it was a sledding accident or a tubing accident, 18 years old. And so had she arrived, we talked about my father-in-law who passed away 2 weeks ago, and did he arrive? And the scripture in Matthew says, be therefore perfect, which is not without flaw. It's complete. But I think complete happens after this life. I don't think that complete happens in this life as far as complete. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me. I agree with that, that's something that happens. I believe that this entire time on earth as human beings is only a part, like, of becoming complete. It's mm-hmm. not half of it. It's not all of it. I feel like our time before life was part of it. Mm-hmm. I love that movie Soul. I don't know if you ever saw it. I think it was a Disney.
Yeah.
Where it just kind of focused on the stuff that happens before, right? and I think then our time on earth is a part of it. And I like to believe that our time after we die and leave this earth will also be a part of it. Because if we get our memories back mm-hmm. of our pre-earth time, I feel like it's not going to be an instantaneous, everything makes sense, right? There may be some sort of process involved in meshing those two realities, mm-hmm. and then maybe even then when we have both perspectives, another part that before we go into, you know, whatever's next. Barry made up a really good comment. We were talking about, we talk a lot about enduring to the end and, you know, gospel-y type of things at our house. Mm-hmm. And he said, just the fact that when we talk about judgment, right, the final judgment, mm-hmm. he says, the fact that there's a final judgment indicates that there's many judgments before you get to the final judgment. And then I was listening to Terrell and Fiona Givens talk about that. And they were like, how many finals have you had in your life? How many final exams have you had in your life? I was like, that's a great question.
Well, for each grade, we had a final exam. And for each subject, we had a final exam.
And then, you know, if you did more than high school, if you had college, or if you went back for your master's or your PhD or a doctorate or, you know, whatever the order, those. So even the final judgment, I was like, I'm going to start thinking about that a little bit. Sorry, we're not tangenting everywhere.
No, this is great. And I just had a thought that not indicative of how I feel about any particular person with a professional degree, but there was a joke. This was when I was in my MBA program. That what do they call the doctor who graduates at the bottom of his class? Doctor. He's still a doctor, even though he's at the bottom of his class. But he, you know, if he passes the final exams, and so I don't know what that has to do with anything. But what if the purpose of life is to, and I just had a weird moment where the word came to me in Portuguese, and I'm just making sure that I say it right in English. What if our purpose in life is to progress towards perfect, progress towards complete? And to be complete, we have to have a lot of different experiences. And a lot of different experiences might include not being able to taste things for a while. And it might include physical ailments or mental ailments or relationship problems or all sorts of things. And then the complete is, okay, now I've figured out faith, and I figured out patience, and I figured out charity, and I figured out kindness, and I figured out love, and I figured out all the different things that I need to be complete on. So tell me I'm right or wrong. Actually, I don't care if you tell me I'm right or wrong. I'm stalling for Nat because she's chicken dinner. But
I was just muted.
I know, because you were laughing. I heard nothing.
To be on the safe side, we can just assume you're wrong.
Oh my goodness. So tell me a different opinion.
Yeah. Because I'm siding with Ken on this one. Ooh, sorry. It's
2-1 right now.
Man, I would say I mostly agree with that.
Mostly. I like the qualifier in there.
Oh, the yeah buts.
I reserve the right to come back at any point and say I don't totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot to give my disclaimer. Okay. I reserve the right to change my mind at any time about anything that I say.
That's true. I might have to pull in a net and listen to this podcast again.
And then yeah but yourself.
And then then come back.
Oh, yeah, okay. But. So maybe next week we'll have the rebuttal to the rebuttal.
Yes. The rebuttal to our own selves. Yes. By our own selves.
So, is there a way to overlay that, the idea that the purpose in this life, which means, okay, so let's get the purpose of life is to work towards becoming complete, knowing that we're not going to become complete in this life, because our life experience might be 3 years, it might be 20 years, it might be 50 years, it might be 80 years. And there's not a complete that happens in any of those time spans. But as long as we are becoming complete, that it's a successful life in that, and we're accomplishing God's plan. Back to what we started with, I don't think that God's plan is that prescriptive, that he's, yeah, thank you, Annette, that he's choreographing our every step. I don't think that's what happens. I think it's a choose your own adventure, and he knows how the story is going to end. And the story is going to end. We did some great stuff, and we messed up on a few things. Or we did a few good things, and we messed up on a lot of things. But we got to some degree of complete. And as long as we got to some degree of complete, then we accomplished his plan for us. And as things happen, and it's usually the things last week we talked about, embrace the suck, sometimes it's the difficult things that make it easier for us to become complete in something, in some area. Maybe it's patience, maybe it's love, maybe it's kindness, maybe it's something different. So God's plan is not necessarily you're going to take this many steps in this direction, but it's going to be you're going to become a level of complete in these categories. And I'm going to stop it right there and just see what you guys, how you want to respond to that.
With that, I'd kind of go back to what I remember being taught about the difference between foreordained and predestined.
Okay.
Where predestined would be, this is what's going to happen in your life no matter what choices you make. This is where you're going to end
up. It's out of your control.
Yeah. And foreordained is, if you do everything I'd like you to do, even with the mistakes that you're probably going to make, this can still happen for you. But it's up to you. And if you make too many wrong choices, it's going to kind of pass you by.
I think I can get on board with that. Thoughts, Annette?
I like what you said, but I was going to add a thing, and I'm trying to find the quote that I read yesterday or today about it.
There's a thing evangelicals say about.
Where was it? I think it was in response to this. Okay. So I saw a video that talked about how relationships can change our minds about things,
okay.
The relationships we have with people, right? Like, so, like, for example, an easy one is I have a brain injury, and so I have a level of compassion for people with invisible injuries mm-hmm. that are maybe not, air quote, disabled enough to get compassion of that people normally extend to people who have disabilities, right? Like, this is not visible. It's not in your face, right? I'm not in a wheelchair, or I don't have a missing limb, or something that's a little bit more obvious. And so I have a different level of compassion for all people that have invisible injuries mm-hmm. or invisible disabilities. And that changed, I can say with a lot of confidence, because not because I was like, I had compassion for them before, but it's different. It's a more personal, deeper level of compassion. I have friends that have children who are in the LGBTQ community, and they have a different level of compassion for the outgroups that are inevitably created in church cultures, in cultures, period. And so there's been obviously, you know, sometimes in the more orthodoxy view of Christianity, we get criticism of how when relationships change our minds about policies and about things. Mm-hmm. And my friend and I were talking about this, and she said, I don't think Christ was like, well, this policy, or it's always been done this way, or let me check with somebody on that, like the bishop, the stake president, area authority, before I help you. I'm pretty sure Christ listened and did all that he could do to help and meet people where they are and give them access to community faith blessings where they literally and figuratively are shut out from all other communities, religious or secular. And I feel like I'm starting to think right now, I could change my mind, that our experiences on earth are maybe designed to help us become a more compassionate people to everybody, right? Because like being in this invisible injury, invisible disability community, I have way more compassion for all outgroups mm-hmm. in the church.
Right.
Because on a level, I am in an outgroup, mm-hmm. right? I can't necessarily show up the way a traditional member, a traditional healthy member of the church could, or the way I could 5 years ago or 10 years. And so as we go through our experiences that are sometimes like super, super sucky, and I loved the phrase embrace the suck, because mm-hmm. like, that's just sometimes what you have to do, right? It sounds nicer and actually more uplifting than gut it out, which is usually where I go. It's like, I got to just,
just
gut this out.
Or the traditional endure to the end.
Right. And, you know, Barry and I, that's been another like very triggering phrase for me. And Barry has done a great deep dive into what that phrase means. Mm-hmm. And it's another one of those beautiful phrases in Christianity that does not mean what we think it means.
Interesting. Maybe we should have an episode on that one.
And so just to help us, I love that you said like helping us become, but I think the experiences that we have are designed to help us be more compassionate and ultimately more loving. I don't believe that God is going to, you know, when we get to the other side and we have that one-on-one with him or whatever it looks like, I don't think it's going to be like, well, you should have, you know, not missed church, or you shouldn't have skipped church, or maybe you should have packed a lunch when you traveled that Sunday so you could have, you know, done this differently. I don't think any of those things are going to happen. I don't even think he's going to come at us for like we were in the wrong church or we worshiped God wrongly. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's going to come up for me at all because I loved too fiercely and accepted too broadly.
Yeah.
Right. Like if our guidance is embrace the suck and love everybody while you do it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like,
it always comes back to that for some
reason. Gosh darn it. I feel like I haven't said that for so long.
It's been a while.
But, you know, as we do love other people, right? Like, I might fall short in a lot of places, but I don't think I'm going to get the finger shaken at me because I loved too much.
Yeah.
I was too kind. I was too accepting. I was too compassionate, especially towards groups that I may be a little bit more sensitive to or compassionate because of my experiences. Mm-hmm. So I know that like came around full circle somehow. I just, I really feel like it.
We'll go with that.
A couple things I was just thinking of.
Ooh, some yeah buts from Brennan.
I love it. Yeah. Not so much a yeah, but kind of adding on to what she was saying.
Okay.
So something that had been brought up in church maybe 2 months ago was actually one of the big things with Jesus Christ and his ministry was that he came and he actually broke up the traditions of men. Mm-hmm. He broke the traditions of the church at the time, which I thought was really interesting when you take that to a lot of churches today, that where tradition is everything. And well, why do you do it this way? Well, we've always done it that way.
Right.
And a good example of that, if you guys haven't seen it, it's a pretty good movie. It's called Jesus Revolution.
Okay.
Came out, I think, this past summer. But it's about this guy named Lonnie Frisbee, who was a hippie. And as a hippie, he found Christ. And he brought a lot of hippies to find Christ. And he ended up meeting this Baptist pastor, which if you guys don't know what a Baptist church service is like, it's very similar to Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, in that it is very formal. It is, you know, you have your opening prayer, hymn, sacrament meeting, and then, you know, just everything just kind of goes by the book. And from one Sunday to the next, you know, everything's very structured. Which, if you can imagine, you know, a barefooted hippie walking in the front doors, they might not be received too well. But so it was a really interesting, just seeing that shift in the church he was going to of, you know, some people left because they didn't like the direction it was going and they wanted to hold on to those traditions. And there was another point I was going to make, but I lost it.
So. Oh, so what if I revise my, well, I think, I don't know that I have to revise it much, but, so expectations of God's, of God, I can have the expectation that God will use everything that I experience, anything that I say, do, anything that is said or done to me, anything that I'm affected by, and will use those things to give me an opportunity to, because I don't think it's forced, but it gives me an opportunity to become more loving, compassionate, charitable. If I allow it. Is that fair? Is that an expectation that I can have of God?
I think that's a fair expectation.
Yeah. Makes me think of something I had went ahead and pulled up earlier. Bible verse in Luke 11:11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
So if we have an expectation of God that he will use everything, or he will, everything that happens to us will somehow be a benefit.
Eventually. I'm going to add the qualifier eventually.
Yeah. Because, yeah, it may take a while sometimes for us to figure out how to forgive or how to turn that into a compassionate characteristic. I like having that expectation of God. I'm thinking about it just to see if there's anything that I want to push back on. I don't think that's the only expectation. I don't know that we're trying to get to the one expectation of God, but I like that expectation that anything that happens, anything that I experience, regardless or irregardless, sorry, of what it is, he will use that as a positive somehow.
Eventually, right? Eventually. I don't know that we would always come back and be like, well, I'm glad that happened to me, right?
Yeah.
I know we have examples of people like, well, I'm glad that I had this horrible cancer and was like this, you know, like, I don't know that we have to be grateful for the thing that happened to us to be grateful that we received what we did because of the thing. I don't know if that makes sense. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It does make sense to me. The thing that's been really surprising to me is I've heard people tell their stories, usually very difficult experiences that they go through. It seems pretty universal that they are grateful for the experience and they wouldn't have changed anything, or they don't want to change it because of who they became as a result. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I was listening
to, but I think that takes time.
This is a slight digression, but not really. There's this really funny podcast called Wiser Than Me. It's Julia Louise Dreyfus, and she interviews women that are older than her and asks them lots of questions.
Right.
And she always asks, if you could go back and tell yourself anything, mm-hmm. what would you, and what would you say? And I think it was Carol Burnett, I'm not positive, who said, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't change anything because I wouldn't have received all the things that I received. I wouldn't have accomplished the thing had I not gone through the things that I went through.
Yeah.
Now, she never said, I'm so glad for all those horrible things that I had to go through. But it was like, I wouldn't change it because I know I wouldn't be here. And mm-hmm. here's good. So I do like that. Like, I don't think I have to be grateful for some of the hardships, or, you know, like, I don't think Marcin has to be like, or you, like, I'm so glad I got into this horrific car accident. That was like, you can be without, and you can be grateful for the things that you received because of that thing. The end.
So is it fair to say that an expectation we could have of God is that someday he'll make those purposes known to us?
I think that's a healthy expectation. I have a more unrealistic one, is that okay. I will also understand during the hardship why I'm having the hardship.
Okay, so
it makes sense, because then I can actually embrace that suck a little bit easier than living in the unknown, yeah. Which is horrible.
I know, it's really tough. It's, the unknown is messy. We talked about that last week, that it's sloppy. It's hard. So maybe where we land this week, and maybe, who knows, maybe next week we'll get to the Pivot Master that you've been talking about for 2 weeks.
That's right, the Pivot Master.
Yeah, so we'll have to talk about that. But what if maybe we can just land that anything that at all that happens, the purpose is to help us become kinder, more loving, more compassionate.
Wait, did you just quote me?
Maybe I did. I don't remember who said it. It sounded like something brilliant that I said, but maybe it was you. I don't remember. And the expectation part B is that at some point we will see the value of the experience.
I think that's fair.
Is that fair? And God's plan is
eventually.
Is that's right. God's plan isn't necessarily just to get us back into his presence, but it's to get us back in a condition of completeness. And that's all of our experiences are going to contribute to that.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Anything you want to end with, Brendan?
Yeah, just kind of like what you said of growth is important. And I think that is a big part of his plan for us, is to have us grow and to see us grow and how we adapt to the things, because there's many things in our lives that, you know, there's two very different ways that we could go with it, and kind of a, you know, see what choices we're going to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Growth is interesting. And I have some thoughts for my Bad Boss podcast that'll come out on. So this comes out on Friday. Bad Boss podcast is going to come out on Monday. Growth is really interesting, because sometimes as we grow, we surprise ourselves at the changes that we've made. And so maybe we'll talk about that at some point too. But I'm going to give Annette the last word.
What?
And then I'll have the real last word, and I'll just correct anything you say.
Yeah, but she's cooking.
Rude. My last word is love other people and be compassionate for where they're at. Maybe they haven't reached the same place on the path that you're at. We need to be better at meeting people where they are instead of expecting them to meet us where we are.
And it's not just on the path. It's for different characteristics. They may have exceeded where you are on the compassion path, and you have exceeded them on the patience path. And so just being aware that you're not even on the same path. Did we start talking about that?
We need to have a conversation about that.
About the straight and narrow?
About, we might not be on the same path. Even though we're all on the straight and narrow path, we might not be on the same path.
Yes. Maybe we'll talk about that. But for now, I'm going to call it good. Because otherwise, we could go for another hour. I don't want to do that. We'll go for another an hour next week. So as far as this week is concerned, that's the answer. God's plan is for us to become complete. The end.
Love others.
Love others. Thanks for getting that one in. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?